Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
First things first, Patrick Mahomes might be without Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on Sunday. So what's plan B for the Chiefs if they want to beat the Steelers? Dak and the Cowboys offense appear to remain stuck in neutral. Should they be on upset alert Sunday when they take on Washington? And Mac Jones has something to prove in the rematch against the Bills on Sunday. Good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas Eve to all of you out there. We just got a little sprinkle of snow to whet the appetite for us here in New York City alongside Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wilds. Kevin Wilds looks a little stressed out. Welcome to a Christmas edition of First Things First. Wilds, what's the situation? You got a lot of pressure on the baby goat. How are we handling it this morning?
So first of all, happy holidays. Happy early Christmas, everyone. And your old friend Mac Jones is going to deliver an early Christmas gift to the entire National Football League when he throws for 300 yards. Don't run the animation. I'm still going on Mac Jones.
300 yards.
Whatever could that gift be? 300 yards. Wow. More than three passes? What's the over on
look,
that?
A former baby goat.
Jenna?
Thursday night football. Sorry, that was a low blow, and it's not appropriate for this Christmas Eve. Let's start with some Niners-Titans Thursday night football. Big game for both these teams and a bad game for Jimmy G. Garoppolo throwing two picks last night, missing some key throws that the Niners really needed, allowing Tennessee to climb out of a 10-0 halftime deficit, come back, and win this game by a field goal. Fun fact here, guys. The first time ever the Niners have blown a halftime lead of 10 or more under Kyle Shanahan. Well, it was a fun fact for everybody except Kyle Shanahan. Niners still trying to hold on to a wild card berth. But Chris Broussard, I'll start with you. You watch this game, you have to ask yourself, is it time for San Francisco to bench Jimmy G for Trey Lance?
Absolutely not, Jenna. Absolutely not. That would be ludicrous. And I get it. Let me start here.
Ludicrous.
Jimmy G was horrible. He was horrible last night. You saw some of the throws. He misses Kyle Juszczyk wide open. Brandon Ayuk on a critical play. The two interceptions, you know, one in the end zone. And the one to start the third quarter on their first play in the third quarter that allowed Tennessee to have the ball at San Francisco's 25. And then obviously get the game tying touchdown. That was horrible as well. So I'm not defending what Jimmy G did last night. All right. That loss was on him. You can talk about the defense giving up the last drive for the field goal, having no answer for AJ Brown, but it was on Jimmy G.
Where was he looking?
That said, Nick, it would be ridiculous. You really want to start a rookie who hasn't thrown a pass in a month and a half and wasn't that great when he played 3 weeks before the playoffs? For all of Jimmy G's flaws, and we know he is not elite.
There's a lot of them.
But he has shown you can win with him. You can win with him, and you can win big.
You can also lose with him.
With him. And,
to Ryan Tannehill.
Look, he's not – nobody's saying he's Aaron Rodgers. To Tannehill, how about that response? To the Bud list, by the way. But that's a different story.
Oh,
but
he was terrible.
Jimmy G has proven, Nick, 6-3 in his last nine starts. And going into last night's game.
Stop with the quarterback wins.
Hold on.
Stop with the quarterback wins.
Before last night's game, you and several others, all of us on this panel, were saying San Francisco was one of the most dangerous teams in the league. Where are they on the tier?
Despite
they're in that legitimately scary.
Yes.
Legitimately.
Yeah, same with the Colts.
They would be, whose biggest issue
is also better their quarterback.
Look,
I haven't even given my answer yet.
Shipping off Jimmy G. I'm all for shipping off Jimmy G after the season and going with Trey Lance. But that would be ridiculous. I can't think of a word strong enough to say how horrible it would be if they benched Jimmy G.
Well, you called it ridiculous.
There's no way you're going
to
say that.
And it's a great point because
they got
San Francisco 49ers.
With him.
They also got to a Super Bowl
when they benched their established mediocre starter for their unproven dual threat quarterback named Colin Kaepernick, took over midway through the year, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. Like, that did happen. That's okay. How they got there. Alex
Kaepernick
Smith was there.
Good at that
Alex
time.
Smith was established. Well, we don't know. Kaepernick hadn't played. Kaepernick didn't play his rookie year. He went in for Alex Smith midway through the year and never relinquished the job. Now, let me make
midway
this clear.
Midway through
I
the year.
I am not saying.
Not with 3 weeks left
yeah,
in
okay,
the season.
Yeah, well, correct. They should have gotten this ball rolling earlier, but Trey Lance got hurt. Here's the deal. I am not arguing that Trey Lance should start next week. I am arguing this. He needs to be a part of the game plan. He needs to start to get his feet wetter and more ready because he might need to play in these playoffs. Because the Niners are in the same boat right now as the Titans or the Colts or the Patriots or the Vikings, teams that 2 through 53, you really like what they have, but at in your heart of hearts, you know in a big spot, their quarterback cannot be trusted. Now, maybe Mac Jones will one day, grow out of that. Those other guys won't. Cousins, Wentz, Garoppolo, those guys are who they are. And last night, it's worse than the numbers suggest. This game should have been 21-0, at a minimum 17-0, three possessions in. But Jimmy G throws a red zone pick in the end zone, misses Juszczyk wide open. And all night long, can we show his passing chart? And this should just be called the Jimmy Garoppolo chart, like whenever a quarterback has one of these. A whole lot of green dots at and behind the line of scrimmage, and then some awful red ones as soon as you try to push the ball down the field, and then you see those white ones way up top because he's got no chance of completing them. Fact of the matter is this, Wilds. Quarterback wins are a fake thing. And the only argument for Jimmy Garoppolo is he's been lucky enough to be involved in his two coaches have been Belichick and Shanahan, so they have won despite him. The Niners gave up 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance for a reason. They have to at least get him involved in the game plan if they want to have – are they drawing dead to go to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo this year? Yes. Would they be drawing dead with Trey Lance? I don't know. Maybe they'd be worse. There's a chance they'd be better. So you've got to at least get him involved.
Do you
think that Trey Lance can carry the 49ers to the Super Bowl and Jimmy G, who has already done that, cannot? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, what I am saying is neither of them can carry the Niners. Jimmy G has never carried the Niners anywhere. Jimmy G was put in Kyle Shanahan's dress coat pocket and rode along like a little mouse. Like, where are we going? Kyle Shanahan's like, quiet, Jimmy. I'll tell you where we're going once I'm done letting you throw 8 passes to get us where we're going. What I am saying is there is a potential upside with Lance Wilds, and maybe he won't make critical, gut-wrenching, looks like he's looking the other direction throws like Jimmy G did last night. That second interception, where's he looking? What's he doing?
I get it. I get it. Jimmy G is not an elite quarterback. That's fine. Jimmy G also went to the Super Bowl. But to say that starting a rookie would make fewer mistakes than Jimmy G, I don't think that idea holds any water. And I understand, Broussard, Nick's point about, hey, let's not get in the or business. Let's get in the and business. Have Jimmy G and Trey. I don't think that's a terrible idea, especially if you're playing the Texans next week. Hey, try it out. But, Broussard, they did sort of dip their toe in that water and got away from it. So when you're talking about Jimmy G playing in rhythm, I think it helps to just ride with Jimmy G the entire time. And finally, I get banged a lot on saying it's a bad fourth go for it on fourth down. Like, you can't be mad when they miss it and then be happy when they're like, here's the thing about Jimmy G. He did engineer a 96-yard drive. And in the past 10 years, only 13 rookies have ever done that. So if you want to say, oh, look at his passing chart, look at this, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, like, all right. But no rookie is going to engineer a 96-yard drive, with the exception, the baby goat had a 95-yard drive, and Trevor Lawrence did have a 96-yard drive this year. But that being said, Jimmy G can't put you on long drives if he puts it together.
With the exception of the rookies that already did it, it doesn't happen?
Okay, 13 times in the 10 years?
It's rare.
13 times in 10 years?
It's rare. Nick, look, fine. We can bring Trey Lance in here and there periodically, but not even enough to put a question in the air of, well, is Jimmy G still our quarterback? I'm dead serious. You can diss Jimmy G all you want. You can talk about quarterback wins are irrelevant. But the fact is, San Francisco is 30-14 with Jimmy G as a starter. They've won like 8 games without him as the starter. Yeah. Same team. Kyle Shanahan. Same coach. Same defense. Yeah, same running backs and receivers. Serious. They're terrible without him when he doesn't start.
Yeah.
Now, again, nobody's saying he's Aaron Rodgers. But it would be incredibly stupid to start a rookie 3 weeks before the playoffs. I'm sorry. It's crazy.
Well, that's fine. Listen, I'm going to just 2 quick counterexamples. One is Alex Smith again with the Chiefs. They 100% should have benched him at the end of the year for rookie Mahomes. Then maybe Marcus Mariota doesn't go into Arrowhead and beat him in the playoffs. And now I'm not saying Trey Lance is Mahomes, but we don't know what Trey Lance is. But I'm just curious. Let's just pretend for the sake of argument quickly, the Bears were a relevant good team. You guys would want Nick Foles over Justin Fields, right, Wilds? Because Nick Foles has been to a Super Bowl. Been to a Super Bowl almost as recently as Jimmy G.
Justin Fields has been playing. Yeah, okay. He's been playing half the season. That's the thing.
You know how you get a guy playing? By let him play. Let him play.
It's too late. It's too late.
The Niners.
You're better than this.
The Niners are still in this despite the loss to Tennessee last night. Nick is, in fact, better than that, regardless of what the conversation
is. No, I'm not. They're going to make the playoffs and lose.
The Niners beat the Texans next week. The Niners should get into the playoffs. So guess what? We get to have this conversation all over again. Woo! And thanks to the Niners' loss, Dallas locked up a playoff berth last night by doing absolutely nothing. But should Dak and the boys be on upset alert versus Washington? We're doing upset alert. It's next. It's first things first. Christmas Eve.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Time now for upset alert back to the NFL. Last week, how about our guy Kevin Wilds nailing the Lions, upsetting the Cardinals in the pick heard around the world. This week, Cowboys are almost equally big favorites against Washington. The boys already clinching the playoffs with San Fran's loss last night. Literally clinched the playoffs just by existing. But a win Sunday and they will clinch the division, the NFC East. All right, Chris Broussard, which team should be on upset alert in week 16?
I feel strongly about this one, Jenna, and it is the Arizona Cardinals. They host one of the hottest teams in the league, the Indianapolis Colts. I am looking for the Colts to go in there and get a win. We know they've won 8 of 11. And here's the thing. Both teams need the win. But the Colts are the more desperate team. Tennessee's win last night means that Indianapolis is not likely now to win the AFC South. All right, so they are going to have to get in as a wild card, most likely. And they are desperate. Arizona also, James Conner's got the heel injury. DeAndre Hopkins is out. And remember, look, I love Kyler Murray, but he took off when DeAndre Hopkins joined the team. He misses D-Hop, and understandably so. So I don't see the Cardinals bouncing back with some great game after that embarrassing loss to the Lions. And speaking of that loss, Nick, they're vulnerable to the run, Arizona. And we know what Indianapolis does well. Jonathan Taylor left. Jonathan Taylor, right. All right, and somebody named Craig Reynolds, an undrafted running back out of Kutztown, Division II, went for 100-plus yards last week. against Arizona. What do you think Jonathan Taylor's going to do? Indy in an upset win. I'm calling a win, not an alert. A win over Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going there. Wow. I'm going there.
I mean, this show, we've called this show First Things First for 5 years, but we might have to change the name to Profiles in Courage, with Broussard going out on the limb of a 1-point underdog for upset alert. I mean, not only an alert, but calling for the win.
Yeah,
for the
one-point
underdog.
That's what makes
Broussard,
up for it, Nick.
The Raiders game is a half-point spread. You could have gone there if you wanted to really be gutsy. The old half-point, you went with the 1-point underdog. I'm a little disoriented because
I can't wait to hear yours.
So courageous. I think the Rams should be on upset alert against the Vikings.
Let's hear yours.
I think the Rams, a little too much buzz around the Rams right now because they appear to have gotten right, but did they get right or was that more about the Cardinals getting wrong? I feel like this is a game Minnesota desperately needs. Now, I know the Rams, if they want to win that division, they need this as well, as they and Arizona are both at 10-4, and I think they're going to see. I actually agree with Broussard's pick. It's just cowardly, but I agree with it. I think the Colts are going to beat the Cardinals Saturday night. And I think the Rams, I think the Vikings in a desperate spot with the Rams maybe being slightly overvalued. I like the Rams on upset alert against the Vikings Wilds.
Okay. So sometimes I'll watch a documentary or a video and I'll say, man, I wish I was there. That would have been great. It's like, oh, the Jazz Age in Paris or like Studio 54. You know the most recently when it's happened to me? The Lions locker room after a win just seems like a wonderful, magical time and place. And that's why I'm going back to the well, Jenna. I'm going Lions over Falcons. And here's why. First of all, the Lions have won two of their last three games. It's in December. Guess what? Only three teams have more wins. The Cowboys, the Chiefs, and the Rams. So they're right there in NFL's elite squads. But here's the other thing. Yeah, the Lions have only won two games and they've tied a game. And the Falcons are supposedly better because they're 6-8. What defines this Falcon season? Just a bunch of just a bland meal. Like, I don't know what this is. We traded Julio Jones. What are we doing? Does anybody know? No one knows. They have no identity. The Lions were like, we are the little engine that could. We are the underdogs, and we want to play spoiler. Even for the 1% chance that the Falcons make the playoffs, which is literally 1%, I'm not just saying that. And, oh, wouldn't it be just sweet, sweet victory for me, Jenna, after all of Nick Wright's Mac Jones slander, that the Lions can come in and extinguish any hope of Nick Wright's playoff Falcons making it to the postseason. Lions in Atlanta beat the Falcons outright.
It's a big one.
Well done. I'm with you, Wilds.
Putting it out there, Kevin Wilds. We got to talk some Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes might be without a couple of key contributors on Sunday. Can he make an MVP statement and lead them to victory even without his guys? We discuss that next, First Things First. We got to turn our attention to this weekend now. Big week 16 in the NFL. And for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they may have to face the Steelers without their two superstars, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, both all-pro pass catchers currently on the COVID list. If they can't go, Chiefs will need Mahomes at his best to get a win against Pittsburgh. Nick, would beating the Steelers shorthanded give Mahomes a real shot at winning MVP?
Well, if we're going to be fair about this award, absolutely, unequivocally, yes. It would put him in position, depending on what Aaron Rodgers does the night before against the Cleveland Browns. And when speaking of this, it's important to bring up Rodgers. Rodgers got himself back in the MVP conversation after his obviously terrible week one game, when you really started to have some Rodgers MVP buzz, was in the Arizona Cardinals game. Now, was he great in that game? No, he threw for like 200 yards. So why did he create some buzz? because his top wide receivers were all out, and he found a way to win anyway. If Patrick Mahomes against this defense, Wilds, with T.J. Watt, who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, with Minka Fitzpatrick, a team that all of their wins this year seemingly have come because of how good their defense is. If Mahomes plays well and the Chiefs win, to extend their winning streak to 8, to put themselves in great position for the 1 seed, and he does it throwing to Byron Pringle and Josh Gordon and Noah Fant, if he does it that way, if he does it that way, then you have to at least acknowledge, given that Brady's coming off his worst moment of the year, that we are one Rodgers stumble away from Mahomes having as good of a case as anybody. If he does it without Tyreek and without Travis Kelce against the Steelers on national television.
Okay, I still think Brady is in the driver's seat, but I'm going to throw it back to you here. And I know this is hard for you to even imagine, Nick. But if the Chiefs lose and Mahomes plays subpar or just a good game for Mahomes, can we officially stop talking about Mahomes for MVP? If he loses, is other side of the coin? They lose, like, we're done. We'll never have to mention it again. It will never show up in the Google document,
not
correct?
This year. No. Of course. The only way...
Okay.
Mahomes was at a huge deficit halfway through the year. But if he ends the year on a 10-game winning streak, with every single one of those games coming against either a playoff team or a team one game out of the playoffs, aside from the Giants game, against the hardest schedule in football, and finishes top 3 yards, top 3 touchdowns, like, you have Brady in the driver's seat. I don't know. Then I guess the games don't matter. Like, to have Brady above Rodgers still, to me, is crazy. Like, Rodgers played a great game. Brady played a terrible game. Rodgers, you could argue, has better numbers, even though Brady has more volume stats because of the type of offense they run. But he does. He has better touchdown interception ratio, better passer rating. He's been the more efficient quarterback. Brady just has a higher volume numbers, like Doug Moe's Nuggets. Like, he scored a lot of points, but you got to put the context of the game. Yeah, that's because they pass so much more than they run in Tampa. Okay. But here's the other thing, Broussard, that has to factor into this. Mahomes does not get 4 games against the Bears and Lions, does not get 4 games against the Panthers and Falcons. Brady's got 9 touchdowns this year, either 7 or 9, I'm not sure, against the Falcons alone. So that's got to be a part of this as well, who you have done it against and the difficulty of competition. If he does it against the Steelers with no Tyreek and no Kelce, it has to at least start to be a very viable conversation.
Let me bring some rationality to this thing. All right. This would keep Patrick Mahomes late in the MVP conversation. And by that, Nick, I mean, he's in the conversation, but he's late in there. Like, we're talking for 5 or 6 minutes before we bring up Patrick Mahomes. And even when you bring him up, somebody you're talking with gets mad that you brought him up. Like, Wilds. Like, what's he even doing in the conversation? All right. So this would keep him in the conversation. I'll give you that. Mahomes has a few problems, Nick. Number one, you know, he doesn't control his own destiny when we're talking about MVP. I don't care what Patrick Mahomes does over the next 3 games. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't falter, Rodgers is winning it. And he is the front runner, Wiles. I pick Brady. I hope it's Brady. But right now, you just see the momentum. It's for Rodgers right now. So if Rodgers continues to play well, say they win out, even if he doesn't play spectacularly, if they win out and have the best record in the league and he's been great throughout the season, he's going to win it. If he falters, Nick, guess who's second in line and close? It's Tom Brady. It's not Patrick Mahomes. All right, and Brady would be second, and I don't think so, but you got to worry about Jonathan Taylor, too. All right, so Mahomes has a real uphill climb to really get significantly in the MVP conversation. And you want to praise Pittsburgh. They're 27th in total defense. All right, they're 22nd
how do they
in
get
scoring
their wins?
Defense. Right, so let's
Broussard,
not act like he's going
stop
against the old steel
how
curtain.
Do they have their wins?
Those are facts. They're called facts, not numbers.
Okay, do you think the Steelers have a good defense?
They're gutty. Hold they on. Got a great coach.
Do you think they
They're
have a good
gutsy.
Defense?
Ben makes some big plays. The defense is good. I'll give you the defense is good. But you're talking about it like they're the purple people eaters. All right?
No, I'm
they're not.
They're not. No, right? I'm not talking about them like that. I'm simply saying they have the defensive player of the year. They have Minka Fitzpatrick, and every single one of their wins has come because of their defense. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they are the best defense in football. Okay, do you actually think they are? Is my question, Broussard. You say, like, that's the thing. I'm not a huge, like, if you think they are the 27th best defense, then I care about that stat. But if you also think that stat is wildly misleading, then I don't see the relevance of it.
Well, they aren't 27. I'm just saying they're not quite as formidable as you made them to seem. Nick, let me throw you out the other problem, and this is an unfair one, but this is a problem that Mahomes is facing in this race to get the MVP. The narrative about him this season is negative. And it's overblown. I'm with you. It's wrong. But the narrative about Mahomes is he's not having a very good year. And even as we talk about late, right, he's come on strong late. The last, three games, he's got 5 touchdowns and 3 picks. So even late, it's not like he's lighting things up. It's his worst season ever as a starter, you know, since he's been the full-time starter. And the narrative is that, well, he's playing pretty well, but defenses have adjusted to him, and he's not as dynamic as he once was. Right. So he's not only he have Brady to climb, Rodgers to climb, but he's also got that narrative to climb, Nick, which I'm with you, it's unfair, but I think it's real.
Right. And again, I am T.J. Watt and Jonathan Taylor, if the MVP was truly egalitarian, would be really in the conversation. But it's a quarterback only award at this point. So you can almost throw Jonathan Taylor and Watt out because they're flatly not winning it. Even though I had Watt ahead of Mahomes when I did what my rankings would have been a few days ago. But as far as narrative goes, narratives can quickly flip. And the fact of the matter is, Patrick Mahomes, 2 games ago, the team scored 48 against the Raiders. The last game on national television, he led a stirring comeback with a perfect fourth quarter in overtime. If on national TV in the late window with Nance and Romo on the call on Sunday, if he plays well and the Chiefs win with no Tyreek and with no Hill, I'm sorry, with no Tyreek and no Kelsey, then absolutely that narrative can shift. And the Rodgers, I agree, can almost put it away with a great game Saturday night against the Browns on national TV. But if Rodgers stumbles on national TV and then Mahomes plays great on national TV and Brady's buried in the 1 o'clock window the day after Christmas against the Panthers, I guarantee you if it happens, we'll wake up Monday morning and we for the MVP.
Listen, I'm with Nick. I kind of want a close race on this one. I'm rooting for that. All right, time for Nick to hand out some NBA medals. How about some Spurs Lakers? Last game before Staples Center changes its name, and LeBron James went for 36 points. But same old story for the Lakers. Not much else. Not much help. They lose to the Spurs, and so the King loses out on making a medal. Nick, which 3 guys were podium-worthy performers last night?
Speaking of the King, but just quickly before I give the podium, shout out to LeBron James, who, if we're to take Kevin Wilde's word seriously that he's building these teams, he's got 6 rings. He got an extra one for Cleveland and an extra one for the Lakers. Ties Jordan, 2 GM rings to go along with 4 player rings. Good for LeBron. Bronze medal, though, not
no
LeBron.
Saying it.
Kata Bates Diop. No. I mean, you said he picked the roster. I think you get a ring for that. Kata Bates Diop. A smooth 11 for 11 with 30 points. Wilds, I don't talk during Weird and Wonderful. Zip it, buddy. In a dominant win over the Lakers. And by the way, they're not blowing up the building, America. They're changing some signage. This wasn't some farewell to Staples. Literally the same building they're going to play in on Sunday. Silver medal. Kimba Walker. 44-9-8. Look at Kimba. If it's 10 years ago with UConn all over again in the Garden, except they lost. the Knicks are not good, but game, but that was fun. Gold medal, a team that didn't lose. Wardell Stephen Curry. Ah, Steph, little controversy in the news this week. He says no worries at all. Steph, 46 points in a nice win over Wild's seventh favorite team, the Memphis Grizzlies. There it is. There's your medal stand from last night in the NBA. Steph Curry atop the mountain.
Oh, my gosh. How about Steph now with 67 career games with 8 or more three-pointers?
So good.
How Back to the NFL, another big game. Huge. Bills, Pats, part 2, Sunday in Foxborough. Who's taking the top spot in the AFC East? We'll discuss next. First things first on a Christmas Eve.
Playing myself on Matt, and it was so weird because I tried to run too much. I didn't focus on passing. So I went and got Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, and I always wanted to be a pocket passer, so I played with those guys. John Madden was the voice. He made me want to play in the National Football League.
EA Sports, it's in the game.
Well, my first encounter with the game, that's when they had Michael Vick on the cover. The younger version of myself and other guys, you know, we used to
classic
play with our favorite players.
What a perfect segue into welcoming in Mike Vick.
Wow.
So that was the All Madden doc. It premieres tomorrow at 2 Eastern on Fox. Mike, you're known by many as the greatest Madden quarterback ever. So tell us about the first time you met the football legend, John Madden.
Oh, it was amazing. And I just remember being in the presence of a legend. And the one thing I remember telling John was, John, I admire you. But also Pat Summerall was one of the guys, too, who made me want to play in the National Football League. And them being paired together was amazing. And then if that the game that we played against Green Bay, John was commentating the game. And I told him, if we win this game, well, I asked him, if we win this game, can I grace the front cover? And he told me if we won, he'll think about it. And 2 years later, I was on the front cover, so I thought that was cool, man. John was a man of his word. He's a man of his word.
Awesome. Very.
I don't love you running against the Patriots here, but other than that, that was a great story, Mike. Looking forward to this documentary.
You know what? I could never play with myself on a video game. As you can see, you know, I don't know who's controlling me right now, but whoever it is, they definitely a Madden guru, because I could not do that. But that's one of the reasons I'm the greatest of all time on the game.
That's awesome.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right, Mike.
Again, the All Madden doc tomorrow, 2 Eastern, only on Fox. Check that out. All right, let's head up to New England now. Talk about the game that will be featured on TV1 in the Wilds household. Bills at Pats with first place in the AFC East on the line. We know how the last meeting went up in Buffalo. This one should have a slightly different feel. 41 degrees and sunny skies expected at Gillette. All right, Nick, who wins the rematch, Bills or Pats?
I think the Bills win, Jenna, and I think the Bills should have won the first game. I think they will win this game. I'm not a big believer in Buffalo, but I think they're better than the Patriots. And, Mike, I'm really interested in Mac Jones' mentality coming into the game. I mean, the fact of the matter is this. They were on a nice winning streak, I think a 7-game winning streak, going into the bye. But that last game before the bye, he obviously just threw the 3 passes, and it was all about the Patriots running the football. He then comes out after the bye, has his worst game since the Saints game, arguably his worst game of the year. They're shut out for 3 quarters. And then after the game, he had the really odd comments where he says they didn't practice well as a team and that they were feeling sorry for themselves, but they were off a bye and had won 7 in a row. So I don't know where Mac's head's at after the last 2 games from him with the bye sandwich in between. I know the Bills are desperate, and I think the Bills are going to say, we're going to let Josh Allen run the ball a lot more than they did, and I think they'll be successful in doing it, Mike.
Yeah, Nick, what I think Mac Jones meant to say was there's no need to feel sorry for themselves after the game against Indianapolis, if I'm not mistaken. But look, he said what he said. And, you know, in regards to this game, yeah, I think the Patriots win it. I don't see them losing 2 in a row. I don't see the Buffalo Bills being able to come in and run the ball effectively for 4 quarters, and that's what it's going to take. Because you know New England's going to try to play ball control. They're going to keep it out of the hands of Mac Jones, allow him to throw the ball down the field here and there at times. But it's not going to be all about Mac Jones. Run the ball, play defense. I think that's what they do well at home. I think that's what it's going to be. And the Buffalo Bills have become too Josh Allen dependent. He's the run game. He's the pass game. And the connection with Stephon Diggs have not been there. It hasn't been there. So, you know, a team that, you know, while they're desperate right now and they need a win, I just don't think it's going to happen in Foxborough this week. I think the Patriots bounce back, and I think Mac Jones play well.
Well, thank you, Mike. I totally agree with you. And Mike has made another accurate prediction, a.k.a. the Madden legend, Mike Vick, as we just explained. So here's the thing. I think that we've got the emotional edge. Last year, Bills came in to Foxborough and broke a 13-game home-winning streak of the Patriots. I think that still weighs on Belichick's mind. And I think it's still in the Bills' mind. I think it's still there. Like, you know what? We got lucky last year. We left with a win. They had a little, you know, quarterback, issues, let's say. We weren't really solid, and the Bills got the win. But now it's a brand new year. I think the atmosphere is going to be crazy. And here's the thing. I think we're going to see a more balanced attack. I think there's going to be a lot more running, obviously, Broussard. But I don't think TBG is going to be out there throwing the ball 40 times. When we look at how many times he throws and wins versus losses,
TBG.
Look at about 26 passes. That is perfect. If TBG does that, I think we're good. I think we walk away with a win, Broussard.
Well, it took me a few moments to figure out who TBG, the baby goat, was. But that's nice, Wiles. Look, Mike made some great points because obviously Diggs and Allen haven't been the same as they were last year. And they are all about Josh Allen offensively now. And I hope I'm wrong because, you know, on this show, I mean, I like the Patriots. I picked them like Wilds to make the playoffs in the preseason. It's fun to talk about their resurgence and Bill Belichick,
sure.
Mac Jones. It's nice to talk about him being this nice, strong rookie. And even the baby goat nickname, if wildly overblown and unrealistic, it's cute. All right. So all that is nice, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going with Buffalo. I think Buffalo wins this game. Look, this is gut check time for the Buffalo Bills. To me, if they lose this game, I mean, you're going to keep playing, but you might as well just hang it up. Because the New England Patriots, with a rookie quarterback, and I get it, he only threw the ball 3 times. But Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, they don't have big names on that offense. And they went into your place and bullied you. They took your lunch money and then said, what? And you didn't do anything about it. All right, this is the time the Buffalo Bills will prove we are either a legitimate contender or we're just some overrated chumps. Okay? They beat up on bad teams all year long. They're 1-5 against teams with winning records. Look at the teams with a worse record against plus 500 teams. None of them are any good. Who's the best? Philly? I mean, that's so Philly. The good teams beat other good teams occasionally. But Buffalo is different in that regard. So they have got to prove to themselves, and I don't care what they say in the press conferences. I don't care what they say in the locker room when they're charging themselves up and getting psyched up and all that. In their psyche, deep down, they got to know, we really haven't beaten many good teams. I mean, we beat Kansas City when they were struggling, but that's it. That, I think, is why they were so relieved and content, Mike, that they actually played Tampa Bay tough. Because that's about all they can do against good teams is play them tough. And so I think this is gut check time for the Bills. I think Josh Allen will be better with his legs and his arms. I think the defense will be better against the run. Mike, I've got Buffalo winning this game.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you can pick Buffalo right now because it's desperation time. Like, but for the Buffalo Bills, ever since they lost to Tre'Davious White, the defense has looked different. It seems like, you know, that was so deflating to this team that they could never get their traction back going. And, you know, they've struggled a little bit, and they haven't beat any good teams. They beat a lot of bad teams. But this is the week that they got to get it all turned around. Unfortunately, it's a divisional game against the Patriots in Foxborough. And, you know, the Patriots defense, you know, they've endured a lot throughout the season. And last week they got embarrassed versus the Indianapolis Colts. So they're going to be trying to make amends, which is going to make the job harder for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, they're going to have to be on their A game. They got to run the football, set up play action, and see what comes out of that.
Listen, I agree with a lot of the criticisms of the Bills. The one thing I don't agree with is that the Bills' defense got embarrassed in their first matchup. They allowed one touchdown. They allowed 14 points. The Bills lost that game because their offense did not execute. Because Josh Allen played poorly, because the offensive game plan didn't involve nearly enough quarterback-designed runs. That's why they lost. Even though it was slightly blustery, if going into that game you told McDermott, the Patriots are going to score 14, will you take it? He would have said yes. And I know that the Bills are going to be without MC anti-vax, and that could hurt them in the intermediate passing game. But I just flatly don't think... When we're talking about the Bills losing to great teams, the Patriots do not resonate to me on that level. And I do not think anyone outside of Patriot fans... You're actually third in the AFC as of this morning, my friend. Titans game counted, just like the Patriots loss counted. After this game, you'll be fifth in the AFC, my friend. So don't worry about that. I got you, buddy. But more importantly, all these streaks, all this, oh my God, Buffalo hadn't won in Foxborough in 13 years. Yeah, they didn't beat Tom Brady on the road. A lot of people didn't. Those streaks are all irrelevant now. The Patriots haven't done this, the Patriots haven't done that. Those are all Brady contingent streaks. That there's a reason they got snapped last year when they didn't have Brady. And so I don't think there's some big mental edge the Bills hang over the Patriots hang over the Bills as a whole, Jenna.
As we round out this Friday morning, stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. One of the biggest games on this weekend's schedule, Bills at Patriots, part two. Part one was a strange one up in Buffalo. Pats won it on a cold and windy afternoon. This time around, though, it's going to be sunny and milder at Gillette. Will Mac Jones show up after a tough loss last week? Will the Bills make up for losing the last meeting between the two? First place in the AFC East on the line. All right, gentlemen, the table is set. Nick, who wins the rematch?
Jenna, I like the Bills in this one. They were my lock of the week, so I knew you knew that, but we have new audience every few minutes, so I appreciate you adding to the suspense. I think the Bills win. Me and Bills Mafia were like this for one weekend only, then we can go back to our separate corners. Here's the thing, Wilds. I keep saying things on this show that you or Broussard or both of you act like are just outrageous, ridiculous things, but then the people involved in them confirm. So we spent this morning talking about why the Niners clearly and obviously don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo and maybe they should go to Trey Lance. Nick, it's outrageous. If not for the fact that the Niners franchise traded away all their drafts of the future to get off Jimmy Garoppolo. All through the year, even when Mahomes was struggling, I said the Chiefs are the most feared team in the league. They're like, oh my God, Nick, they scored 14 points against the Packers. And yet, whenever teams play the Chiefs, what do? They're like, we can't kick field goals. We know who we're playing. And Wilds is like, no, you're playing a bad offense. But the teams are like, no, we're actually terrified of them. And all year long, I'm like, hey, we found out Belichick didn't trust Mac Jones back in that huge game against Tom Brady when he had Folk kick the 56-yarder in the cold weather outdoors rather than let Mac Jones get 3 yards. You're like, no, he loves him. He's the baby goat, Belichick. And then we watch Belichick only let him throw 3 passes. And then we watch Belichick again kick a field goal, this time in the fourth quarter, down 13 points to cut a 2-score game to a 2-score game in their biggest game of the year. So why do I think the Bills are going to win? Because the Patriots don't trust their passing offense. And it's not going to be 35-mile-an-hour winds where 14 points will be enough. And Wiles, you showed the stat yesterday. Oh, they trust Mac Jones. Look at all these times he's thrown more than 39 passes. And what do those four games all have in common? They're all losses, and they're all losses where you guys topped out at 17 points. So do I think 17 points is going to be enough to beat the Buffalo Bills this weekend? I don't. Do I think the Patriots, the next time we talk, are going to be a wild card team? I do. And do I think that if this game rests on Mac Jones, you know, kind of noodly right shoulder, it's going to go poorly for the Patriots?
Noodly.
I do. So that's why I got the Bills wild. It doesn't throw the tightest of spirals, my friend. Little wobble.
Oh, yes, he does, my friend. You have to watch the All-22. So it's a wonderful holiday tradition of Nick Wright making fun of TBG, Mac Jones. And I will speak about some other holiday traditions dating back to the turn of the century, Broussard. Let me paint the picture. The Patriots have run the AFC East for 20 years. And then all of a sudden, there's a small window. We go up to Buffalo and Cam Newton fumbles the ball and the Bills win. Oh my gosh, is it the Bills' time? Then the Bills come into Foxborough and play great and beat the Patriots for the first time in 13 games, and they win. They sweep the series. And Bills Mafia and Bills players and Bills coaches say, you know what? It's our time now. We're turning the page. And then just like that, the window is closed. We go back to Buffalo. We run for 222 yards. And Tom Brady, the new Tom Brady, the baby goat, only throws three passes. Don't get me wrong. He did complete 66% of them. Only throws three passes. But that's because Bill Belichick doesn't trust any quarterback in the wind. That's not a Mac Jones thing. And look, can the Patriots become one-dimensional, and is that a recipe for disaster? Yes. When Mac Jones has to throw the ball 30, 40 times, no, that's not the way you win football games. But guess what? That's the same with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. That's not the way you win. If we throw the ball exactly 25.9 pass attempts per game, so it's 25, and then you go 9/10 of a pass. It's like the tuck rule, Broussard. You go 9/10, we win this game. I don't want us to be as wildly one-dimensional as we were in the snowy blizzard in Buffalo, but I want us to run, and then Mac Jones throws a nice little bomb up. A catch and the Patriots win. So I think it's more of the same, a nice Christmas tradition of the Patriots running the AFC East.
All right, Wilds, I would like to be with you because talking about the Patriots resurgence under Bill Belichick, it's a fun story. All right, talking about Mac Jones's little mini Tom Brady impression, it's a great story. It's great conversation. All right, talking about the Patriots getting to the playoffs, and I picked them like you in the preseason to make the playoffs. And even the baby goat TBG, the nickname, it's wildly overstated and unrealistic, but it's cute. All right, so for all those reasons, I'd love to be with you and say the Patriots are going to win this game for all those reasons because it's fun. But I got Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to win this game, and I think it's because this is gut check time for the Buffalo Bills. It's as simple as that. This is Rocky Balboa versus Clubber Lang. This is finding out what you are really made of, because the New England Patriots went into Buffalo and punched the Bills in the mouth. The Bills thought they were something. They thought they were special. They were believing the press clippings. We're a Super Bowl contender, all that. And they got punched in the mouth and could do nothing about it. All right, so what are they made of? They got to prove to themselves and everybody else that they have not just been beating up on a bunch of tomato cans, but they really are who people thought they were earlier in the season. They are not only struggled against the Patriots, they're 1-5 against teams with winning records this year. Look at the only teams with a worse record against winning teams. None of them are getting anywhere near the playoffs. Sorry, Nick, about your Falcons. None of them. Philly, they're okay. All right, but those are bad teams. Is that the class Buffalo wants to be in? And they can talk all, they can get upset at the press conferences because you use words like embarrassed. Should you be embarrassed? They can, you know, how they, even among themselves, when they pump themselves up for the game in the locker room and you get psyched up and they talk all this stuff and they chest bump and helmet hit and all that. Deep inside their mind, Nick, in the That's back correct. Of their psyche, they know. We ain't beating nobody. The other Chiefs, but they were a mess when we beat them. We haven't beaten anybody good. So this is what they got to look in the mirror and find out what they're made of. And Nick, I believe in them to some degree. So I think Josh Allen goes in there and has a very good game. Last year in Foxborough, he was great. 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards. I think he's big with his legs and his arm. And I think the defense, while it's not going to get great all of a sudden, but I think it'll be better than it was a few weeks ago against the Patriots, Nick. Buffalo.
Well, I thought the defense a few weeks ago was pretty damn good, allowed one touchdown. Listen, I don't think the Bills are a great team, but they're good enough to beat New England. And fact of the matter is this. New England must play games on its terms. And when they play games on their own terms, they can look great. But if they are forced out of their comfort zone, they have one win in those circumstances all year long. Against the Texans, maybe the worst team in the entire league. That's it. Every other game was played on their terms. I don't think Buffalo's going to let them play this game on their terms. They are going to force Mac Jones to beat them, Wilds, because the Bills are not going to be held to 10 points again. Josh Allen will run more, even though he doesn't have Cole Beasley in this game. The Bills will get into the 20s, and I don't believe the Patriots can forget getting to the 30s. I don't think the Patriots can get into to 27 without a defensive or special team score, and I don't see that's coming. I think next time we see Wild's beautiful face, it's going to be rooting for a fifth-place New England Patriots team. They were first, then they were briefly second. This morning, they're third, Jenna, and after Christmas, they'll be fifth, and all will be right in the world again.
A very happy holidays and a Merry Christmas to all of you. We'll see how this plays out. We'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.